AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil show for your Wednesday. Matt, Brett here today. It's a good day. Paul Ryan running. Oh, don't fool yourselves. Paul Ryan's resigning because he was going to lose. He pulled a Bachman because who is the Speaker of the House that lost his seat out in Washington when they had one of the big turnovers for the Republicans, and they mocked him over and over and over again, and they don't want that to be none of them want that to be the case. Do you remember who that was? It wasn't
Pacquiao.
No, that was a while back. Anyway,
2006. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the guy's name.
Well, no, 2006 was a big Democratic year. I think it might have been 2000 and...
Oh, this was a big Republican year.
Yeah, big Republican year. They don't want that to happen. And that's why Michelle Bachman resigned, because when it comes to your post-political career, you make more money if you go out a winner as opposed to going out a loser. You really do. And so when she looked at there and Graves was going to run against her up in the Minnesota 6, she saw she was going to get her butt handed to her, and she was. And I've heard that the numbers were showing that Paul Ryan, he might not have survived a primary challenge down there, that there is a chance he could lose the primary, which would even be more. Can you imagine that, being a lame duck speaker in April, May, or June? You know, you already know you're not going to be going back. You know, so he resigned because he was going to lose. And I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of wondering... I've heard from a good authority, internal numbers are showing that Paulson is already behind in 3. And I wonder how much longer tick-tock goes the clock before Paulson.
I've seen public numbers that he's been behind, so.
Yeah, I've seen some behind, you know, private numbers that are showing he's really behind. And that this is going to be a very big uphill climb. And the question is, do you really want to go through with it? You know, the reason why Neuberger is the GOP candidate to go against Klobuchar, because they already know they're going to get destroyed. They already know Klobuchar is going to win that seat. You know, that's over. So they found a lame duck candidate, and that they already know is not going to. They don't have to put any money into it. Neuberger gets to go around to these you know shockingly all white rallies predominantly. I don't think he's going to be campaigning in the city. I highly doubt if Jim Neuberger, heck. If he shows up in a diner, well, he'll probably show up in a diner begging for money. If he shows up in like St. Louis Park or Hopkins, I'll be shocked. He sure as heck is not going into Minneapolis.
He won't even show up in Eden Prairie or Minnetonka or Woodbury or anywhere like that.
God, he won't, will he? He will. Shakopee, maybe. I'll tell you what, I'll be in Watertown. No, Duluth, he's not going to Duluth. No, he won't go to Duluth. He'll get beaten Duluth. And so he's just going to go around to, you know, probably my gut guess would be barbecues held out in the middle of the woods with big fires and, you know, yeah.
He'll get some fun 4th of July parades, I guess.
Hey, so the good news, we'll get to Stein. We get to the Ryan with the Steiner a little bit later on the show. I'll get to that. But I got to talk about two negative things here before we get to Dayton monkey. That's the mummified monkey they found in the Dayton store when they were doing the construction. I'll get to that, okay? I get to that. I mean, you've seen the stories. You had to have seen the stories at this point. First of all, let's talk a little bit about what's coming our way this weekend as far as weather. We are looking at some storms, a storm coming through. It's exactly like that last storm, which missed us. Missed us only by about 10 miles, by the way. But we didn't really get anything here in the metro area. Meanwhile, there was a swath of a foot of snow that went down into Iowa that was like 50 miles wide. It sounds like it's going to be the same exact thing. Now, where that's going to hit, no one really knows yet. I have been paying attention. I've got the National Weather Service. This is the National Weather Service forecast. It's saying... It doesn't really say how much snow we potentially could get. Less than an inch possible Friday night. They're calling for a wintry mix on Saturday. Snow likely Sunday, but no forecast amounts. And I think what they're doing is they're holding off to see where this line is going to fall. Most of the models show it being north of the metro at this point. The Weather Channel was going went from 1 to 3 and then 5 to 8, so or 3 to 5. So 4 to 8 inches was their forecast. They're now saying 6 to 10 possibly for the metro area. But still, you know, it's we could get on that. They're not quite sure. And once again, that freeze line is the big thing. If it's raining, it's raining. If it's wintry mix, it's not going to accumulate that much. If it's all heavy snow right across that line, boom, you know, welcome back to December. But I have been inundated today with what I want to call irresponsible weather people who are putting out, which is the worst model. Now, whenever they have a storm, there's like 14 different models. You see this with the hurricanes. They have like 14 or 15 different models on where a hurricane can go, and they try to do an aggregate off of that. Well, when you're trying to talk about how much snowfall you're going to get, these models vary wildly. And one of the models I've seen has the snow pretty much all up on the Iron Range and us mainly getting rain. I have also seen some models which have us getting hammered with snow. All right? Don't quite know. But I've seen too many weather people and news people that are grabbing clearly the worst forecast possible, the worst, you know, prediction available, and are throwing that out there saying, it's coming, it's coming. And I'm like, I get it. You're putting this out there. I mean, it's sycophants. They're putting this stuff out there because they know it basically makes people angry. And it's like the sports guy, and this is not, I'm not referring to anyone individually. This is an old adage of sports radio. Sports radio, there's always a guy that always will take the side against the local team. We'll always badmouth the local team. We'll always, you know, we'll always criticize. We'll always say they're going to lose. They're always going to do that. That person does that because they get response and they get calls on that. All right. That is an old trick in sports radio. You've heard that, right, Brett?
It's kind of the opposite of Sid Hartman.
Yeah, well, it's an anti-Sid. But the, you know, that exists, and that's been in the radio industry for 100 years. The maybe not 100, 75. So, but you have, you know, that's exists. I think that's what's going on here. I think you've got these people that are like, looky here, you're angry, aren't you? Forward this, click this story. Now, if you're sincerely putting it out there because you honestly think we're going to get 3 feet of frickin' snow in Minneapolis on Friday to Sunday, then I'll stand corrected. But if you're only doing this because you went through all the forecast models, found the worst forecast model you could, and are putting that out there to try to terrorize people, shut up. God, I can't stand that.
Then Friday morning, they'll change it to the real ones. Then they say, well, we were accurate, though.
But, I mean, from the beginning of this, I think I've said, we don't know where this is going to land. We could end up getting a lot of snow. We could end up not. And, of course, if it gets a lot of snow, they'll be like, see, Matt? But, like, this last storm where you guys were putting all these forecasts out and it missed us, I didn't notice you bragging in your timelines that much then. Wait until you have the information. Don't just try to get clickbait going. I hate that. The other thing I got to tell you, I'm a little miffed because of something that happened at the gym. I'm at the Y, and I'm at the gym, and I'm going into the, I know, looking at me, the schmoo, a large jar of marshmallow fluff. You're saying, Matt, you go to the gym? I know I do. I like my carbs. Anywho, so I'm in there, and now it's a Y, so it's packed. There's guys like me with dad bods. There's the young guys that are, you know, just they're just working out. They're not really doing it too seriously. There's elderly people who are going through rehabilitation, stuff like that. You know, personal trainers. It's a busy place. And there's this person that's on one of the curl bars, and it looks like they've stopped. So I go over to her, and I say, "Are you, dude? I'm in the middle of a set." Whoa, okay. Now, first of all, I didn't realize counting to 12 was that difficult for some people, but apparently it is. Second of all, you were stopped, and you're in a busy place. Okay. if I mean, seriously, if this is a why, and I'm not saying that people don't take it seriously, but it's, you really want that kind of a gym experience, you need to go to one of these other super duper gyms where it's really serious and people there. You were stopped, and I couldn't figure it out. So I'm waiting for her, you know, to get done, you know, and I, you know, and I say, I'm really sorry. And she just chucks the curling bar, and then this is like 25-pound curling bar, kind of on the machine, and yours. And I said, I'm really sorry. And she just storms off. And I'm just like, okay, stop. Okay. If you are having this much problem, I am not a difficult man to get along with. Just ask her out. I am not a difficult man to get along with. If you are really, I mean, may I make a suggestion? Go buy your own workout equipment and then go find a deserted island and then don't bother anyone. Because if you really are going to go off the handle like that, She-Hulk, when you know, you're, how do you have that much negativity and anger in your life? I mean, how is that even possible? And, you know, like I said, and thanks for bringing it out into the public. Maybe you should head over to the Mall of America. Apparently there's some kids there you can terrorize. 952-946-6205. All right. Should we do monkey? Dayton's monkey?
Yeah, let's do the mummy. Mummy monkey here.
So the story is, the Dayton's building downtown on Nicollet Mall is being renovated. And if you didn't, you know, if you don't haven't been down there, there was open during the Super Bowl. They did a bunch of things in there. They're going to, I don't know what they're doing. Is it apartments? Is it a business offices? Is it stores? I think it's a little bit of everything. The Dayton's experience. They're remodeling. So they're gutting the entire place. In the walls, they found a mummified monkey. Yeah, monkey in the walls, which is, needless to say, a little bit of a head scratcher that the monkey was in there. They've pieced together what sort of happened. And the City Pages had some of this. Other news outlets have had some of this. City Pages had a story of a guy who said that his, I think it was his dad, always said, apparently in Dayton's at one point, there was a pet store. I know. That Dayton's had everything, man. Pet store. And apparently they had a monkey that was in a cage in one of the windows. And this guy, his dad, apparently him and his buddy went down there and kidnapped the monkey and took the monkey to their house. And apparently, and City Pages has got this, I'll put the story out there a little bit later on, but they apparently took it to the house, and apparently the monkey just went nuts in the house, of course, because it's a monkey. It's what are you doing?
It's not like a pet dog.
It's not like a, it's like when you get a raccoon, you put it in there, it's not going to sit and stay. It's a wild animal, basically. So they realize this was a bad idea. They got the monkey back in the bag. I can imagine that was a good, this was an entire process. They went back to the store, and they basically just released the monkey on the escalator and walked away. Just left the monkey in the middle of Dayton's to go. I mean, well, I mean, seriously, if it was down on that first floor with the food, oh my gosh, I bet it was happy. But needless to say, the monkey then apparently scampered into the ductwork where numerous people, now people there at the store had felt that it got out of its cage. They didn't realize it actually had made a trip, I think, to Mendota Heights and back. But it was or Vantage Heights, going around town, you know, just going up to Crooners, catching a little music up there. Why not? Up on Central Avenue. Who's playing? Who knows? But he's on the town, comes back. And they thought they didn't realize this. They thought he just got out and he was running through the ductwork of the place. They tried to put food out for him, tried to figure out a way to get him out of the system, and never did. And eventually they stopped hearing him running around up there. And now we know what happened. He basically died in the ductwork. And I'm presuming this was the end of the Dayton's pet store fiasco. I mean, Bob, where's the boa constrictor? Damn it. Oh man, not again.
How do you kidnap a monkey? I'm trying to.
They apparently went and put it.
How difficult that would be.
Well, I mean, how is the monkey not like? I mean, if you put it in a backpack, okay, and then put it on your back. How's the backpack not like shaking like crazy as you go down Nicollet Mall? Oh, you know, it's a tragic end to the monkey. Let's be honest with you. Dayton monkey did not lead an end of life, a good quality end of life, but it's a heck of a story. And so whether or not, now the question is whether or not that guy's dad was, you know, I'm going to presume at that point it was a pretty good sized news story. Monkey escapes. Did anyone check the top of the fauché? It kind of looks like they might try to climb up there. But I'm presuming it was a local story that there was coverage. And so dad might have made the story up. But the way the guy told it makes me believe dad actually did kidnap the monkey, take him for a ride, come back. And then just because, I mean, there's an admission of stupidity when you say, yeah, we got to the escalator. I let him go and we took off. I can imagine you didn't use that backpack anytime soon. Oh, yes. So there's your story of the mummified monkey. I'll post the links to that all up on online a little bit later on. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A new lawsuit and some resignations before we get to Jeff Stein in the big news, Paul Ryan resigning and Trump basically telling the world we're going to attack them. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
A fantastic lunch is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. Start with their delicious wings, Milton-style, buffalo, barbecue, or naked. Or try their famous barbecue rib nachos. They've got great lunch options, like their grilled sandwiches, the ribeye, the chicken, and the portobello mushroom. Try the fantastic fried egg with asparagus and ciabatta, and their jerk chicken sandwich. Or change it up with a Milton's Cobb salad, a chopped jerk chicken salad, or their warm and satisfying soups. Lunch today will be delicious if you head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in friendly Crystal.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I want to give Lori Peterson a shout out. She's listening or watching.
Hello.
On the live stream on Facebook. You can watch it on Facebook. AM 950 Radio. You can watch the show. This monkey story is, sad. I'll edit as I go. It's sad. Can you imagine the fear of the poor animal? No natural environment, being caged, being kidnapped, then dying in the ductwork. Horrible. No, I mean, I think we all can agree. This is a horrible story. Now, one thing, though, I want to make sure we do understand. We used to be idiots when it came to animals. I think we used to treat animals better than we did when we started getting into the industrialization of farming specifically, and then the puppy mills and all that stuff. And once we started getting into that, I mean, things really started going bad. But this, if this was, what was it, 70 or 60? Do you remember the year that this monkey supposedly disappeared? Brett, do you remember?
I do not know.
We were stupid. I mean, we were stupid. We put a monkey in a cage. For goodness sakes, do you remember the old Como Zoo? Do you remember the old bear exhibits? They're where the polar bear exhibit is now. They were concrete squares, probably only the size of the studio, and we just put a bear out there to sit in a jail cell for no reason. Not that long ago, back in the early 1990s, I was down in, I think it was in Madison. I went to their zoo. They had an elephant that was chained to the wall, for God's sakes. And I went out there and said, what are you guys doing? I mean, if you don't have the space for the elephant, then get rid of the elephant. Do not torture the animal like that. No, we have grown and gotten better. You know, it's unfortunate, but that's, you know, we were fools back then, and the good thing is I think we're being more aware of it here. And if anything, I mean, here's the good news of the story, and here's maybe where the loss of the monkey is a good thing, is it makes us realize, A, we should not have pet monkeys out there. Especially an animal that's not native to the area. Remember in Toronto, the IKEA monkey? The guy that had the monkey in the jacket, and it was at the IKEA store?
No.
Seriously, what are you doing? It's Toronto. But, and also, you know, maybe we need to regulate, we clearly probably need to regulate pet stores a little bit more. I know there's a lot of regulations, but still. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Two stories that I wanted to bring up here. Do you remember when Michelle Fischbach was, they had a lawsuit that was dismissed about her. One of her constituents filed a lawsuit. Destiny Dusosky of Sauk Rapids filed a lawsuit. She's one of her constituents, basically saying that Fischbach can't be there. Now, they dismissed the case. And the reason why they dismissed the case is that the Senate had not been seated yet. Henceforth, that the judge said, well, the Senate clearly is going to follow the rules of the Constitution and not allow her to have two seats. We'll go from that. So they dismissed the case. Now she's reintroduced it. If the Constitution of the state of Minnesota means anything, she's going to have to resign her Senate seat. And I'm the first one to say this is dumb, that someone should be able to turn down the lieutenant governor's position if they don't want it. But this is the law. This is the rule. And whoever was foolish enough to write it like this, no one felt like addressing it until now. And now we have a situation, and now it probably needs to get addressed. And I have zero doubt it will get addressed. But the question is, the Constitution, as of right now, says Michelle Fischbach cannot be a senator and the lieutenant governor. And that, you know, that she's been appointed the lieutenant governor because her position, the Senate president, automatically becomes the lieutenant governor of the state of Minnesota. So she has no way to resign that. So technically, she should not be a senator right now. She can resign her lieutenant governor position, but then her seat should become open. And that's what this lawsuit's about. Whether or not, I mean, my gut feeling is going to be the way Republicans are deciding not to run. Maybe they just try to string this thing out till the end of session. And then Fischbach says, I'm resigning from both positions. Well, no, what she'll do is I'll resign the Senate position. I'm not running again. I'll finish out the lieutenant governor's role. I'll do a few picnics, wave at a few parades, and be done with it. That would be my guess. I mean, because I guarantee you, there's going to be a lot of Republicans, a lot more Republicans who are going to say, maybe I don't want to run this time around. So there's that story. The other story that I want to make sure we follow, former Best Buy CEO Brad Anderson has resigned from the boards of five organizations following a report he contributed to a nonprofit organization that distributed inflammatory anti-Muslim videos on social media. This is one of those dark money groups during elections. The Nonpartisan Research Center for Responsive Politics first reported that Anderson and Olympus Ventures, an investment management firm tied to Best Buy founder Richard Schulze, each contributed $25,000 to Secure America Now in 2016. Anderson and Schulze said they didn't know about the videos and wouldn't have donated if they had. Here's where I'm going to personally say bull. I think they got caught and now they're acting like they're shocked. I have got, they're in distant relatives of mine, actually have some pretty substantial amount of money. And they're Republicans and they make donations in big amounts to, you know, Republican things. And so I actually sent one of them an email and I said, can I ask you a question? When you make a donation of, $25,000, even though these people are well beyond that, they've got quite a bit of wealth. Do you know what that organization is? And I got an email response back that said, $25,000, I guarantee you I know everything about that organization if I'm writing a $25,000 check to that organization. So the idea, you know, judging from that response I got, I don't think Anderson and Schulze are basically being honest. I think that they got caught and they're acting as if they, I mean, really, if it's the worst, they knowingly contributed to an anti-Muslim, you know, hate Muslims, bigoted, Islamophobic organization knowingly. Here's $25,000. Spread the word to hate Muslims. So the only, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, if you're this wealthy, you should know where $25,000 is going. That's not pocket change for you. I find it very hard to believe they didn't know exactly who they were giving it to. But if that's the argument, I guess then they're just idiots. They're either idiots or they knowingly donated to a racist group. It's one of the two. And, you know, because I guess that, you know, the only option they have is to go with, I guess we were stupid. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Stein, when we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Minnesota is home to the only major institution in North America devoted to Russian art, history, and culture. The Museum of Russian Art, located off 35W in Minneapolis.
Chemical Closet. This month, get 3 rooms, 0 resified, starting at $139. Plus, this month, save $50 when you get your air ducts 0-res clean. Call 952-0-res or visit zeroresmn.com. 0-res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 48. Tonight, rain with a low around 34. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high near 49. And Friday, rain and snow with a high around 41.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday at the Veterans Memorial Community Center in Inver Grove Heights. See up to 150 home improvement experts. The Home Improvement and Design Expo this Saturday only. It's the smart place to start your home improvement projects. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You know, I love Nightingale. It's a fantastic restaurant, something for everyone. But I do want to make sure I mention, at one point, I was vegetarian. I wasn't vegan. I was vegetarian. I was, for two years, vegetarian. I was pretty consistent with it. And you know, when you were going out, I mean, this was back in the days, it was always tough. You know, you always want to have something there other than breadsticks or a side salad for someone when they're going out. And things have changed dramatically. Nightingale, their vegetarian options are fantastic. And if you're like me, a kind of guy that does like steak, does like, you know, meats, there are sometimes I love going on out and getting great vegetarian food. That is wonderful. I mean, oh my gosh, some of the food, it's just amazing at Nightingale. Stop on by. It's a restaurant that gets a lot of run here. 2551 Lindale Avenue, south of Minneapolis. It is Nightingale, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Still waiting for Stein?
Yep, still waiting his message here.
All righty. Man, the Twins, the Astros tie the Twins in the ninth. Dang it!
They were up like 8-1 when I saw the box score.
It was 8-1. They're 8-8.
Oh, here's Jeff.
Here's 8-8 here. It was 8-8. God. Is this a precursor? In case you missed this story, apparently the Twins playing the Astros today and trying to find a way to lose. Ugh. While they're about to get, I think, destroyed in Winnipeg. And then I think we're also going to see the T-Wolves, if they lose tonight, they're not even going to make the playoffs. If they win, there's a decent chance they're going to get destroyed in the first round by Houston. But we'll have to see how that goes. Are we good to go here? Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You will find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul. TotallyIowa.com. IowaWatch.org is the exceptional public service show he is part of. He is also, of course, at KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where he's kind enough to join us today. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Matt. I was just taking down my Paul Ryan reelection signs from the front yard, so you'll have to excuse me.
No, you don't even live in his... voter fraud! Voter fraud! No. No.
Yeah, what up? What are you going to do about it, McNeil?
You'll get my John Anderson sign out of my cold, dead hands. All right, yeah, there's a reference for it.
I had one of those.
Oh, those are great signs.
Yes, they are.
All right, so since you brought it up, Okay, Michelle Bachmann in Minnesota 6 resigned. She resigned because she was going to get beat. She was so bad. She was so bad at her job. She had so little to show for it that even in a district like Minnesota 6, which has basically been built for a Republican to win in a landslide, she was going to lose. That's why she walked away. From what I have seen, not only was Paul Ryan likely going to lose to the Democrat, there was a chance he could lose this primary race he's got going on down there. And so I think that you have to look at what he did, his potential for post-politics career, and the reality is going out not losing helps out more than going out losing.
There's absolutely no question that going out without being the speaker who had to hand the gavel over and then sit there as the minority leader or sit there. Yeah, it's much better for him to bail now as opposed to Newt Gingrich, who won his own personal reelection but then resigned the next day when he had lost control of the chamber in the election. So from that standpoint, sure, it just makes perfect sense. But what this tells me is two things. One, Ryan believes that Democrats will take control of the House.
Yes.
If he did not believe that, he would still be running.
Or and knowing Paul Ryan, and to back this up, if knowing Paul Ryan, yeah. If he thought that there was a 50-50 chance for the Republicans to stay there, considering how much he feels he's accomplished, I think he would stay too. I think he's realizing that this is almost a shoo-in for the Democrats to take the House.
Well, at the very least, the numbers were not adding up the way he wanted them to add up. But I also think there is a sense of frustration. And frankly, a lot of people today are talking about Ryan versus Trump. I don't think that's the dynamic. That is an odd dynamic, but I don't think that's the dynamic. The number one person to blame for Paul Ryan leaving is Mitch McConnell. And I say that, Matt, for this reason, and we've talked about it before. I've had the occasion to meet and talk with, interview, radio microphone in hand, Paul Ryan on two occasions. Now, that gives me no insight other than any other guy holding a microphone. But I have heard him on the stump, and this is now going back about 8 months, and he was blowing on about how the House had done their job, but it was up to the Senate to do theirs, that they had passed how many hundred bills, whatever the number was at the time, and this is all at the feet of the Senate. What he was trying to do was say, look, we're doing what we can do. We passed spending bills before the deadline for a budget. The House dropped the ball. We passed a repeal of Obamacare, and the Senate dropped the ball. That's what I meant to say. Senate mm-hmm. dropped the ball. I think he's looking at it saying, okay, I'm going down with a sinking ship. I see no way that I'm going to get a partner on the other side of the aisle that is going to help me. I'm just tired of wasting my time. And of all the Republicans who have decided to step away this year, you had a group of them like Jeff Flake, like Bob Corker, who did it because they didn't want to have to answer to their constituents for Donald Trump. That's one category of people. You have another category of people, though. I don't know that Jason Chaffetz is in this category, but I'm confident Trey Gowdy is, and I think Paul Ryan is. They are people who say, you know what, this just ain't worth it. Life's too short. I can't get done what I want to get done, and I see no end to this in sight, no good end in sight, and I'm getting out. And if I ever want to get back in, at least I don't have it sticking to me. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's what it came down to. You're right about the reelection efforts and the primary fight for Ryan, but truly I think it just came down to him saying, there's no way. I'm wasting my time. I'm spinning my wheels, and life's too short for this, and I'm getting out. And I don't, you know, I'd lay you even money you never hear from him again, because I just get the sense that he just would rather be deer hunting.
I do. I want to know the truth is he's got some tropical boat ready to go to, and he'll occasionally get calls in to do some special lobbying, and he'll make $1 million a year doing that, and he'll be just fine.
Yeah,
here's the
sure.
Here's
well, I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about him at all. But I'm just saying it's a matter of. You know, there are some of these people who get out and, you know, like Jeff Flake, well, I may run for president. You just don't know. Okay. I mean, he's obviously telegraphing that he has plans. What I'm suggesting is Ryan might just be very happy to say, yeah, okay, bye. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. My favorite moment ever was when they actually had to reopen up the soup kitchen so that they could wash clean dishes for the photo op. That was one of back in the Romney campaign. That was a bad image. But actually, there's another thing that comes to light, and I want to give Aaron Rupar over at Think Progress the credit on this one, that I think really this is where I agree with you saying is that this is not worth it. And I think where that comes from is this is a guy who has screamed about deficits, 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 deficits. We have to be responsible for the spending that we have. When it comes to talking to the working class, you know, the blue collar voter that has supported him, and not just him, but nationwide as the speaker, he has been the point person on this. We need to be fiscally responsible and deficits are bad. On the other side of it, you have the Republicans as a party, not to their constituents, but as a party, have fallen in love with this. We have to give wealthy people back as much money as we possibly can because they are the ones that bankroll us. So when you go back to that budget, you remember the one where they were having the kegger on the House floor after they passed it because they were so happy. I have seen that there's been a heck of a lot of pushback on this, especially since the CBO report, $804 billion in additional deficit, then 2020 is $1.5 trillion in 2028. These two things came together. His constituents were mad because he basically showed his true colors that he was only there for the tax cuts. And I think there is an element of betrayal by the voters, which the Republicans seem to be hearing from the Republican voters that, wait a minute here, we sent you to get there to get rid of this deficit, not make it twice as bad.
Oh, there's absolutely no question. And I think I have seen some analysis today that suggests that Ryan went home for the Christmas break and really just wondered, you know, what are we doing here, right? Because they barely got the tax reform passed, et cetera. My sense is that his heart wasn't in it at the time of the omnibus bill, which is why he shepherded it through, because it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. I can't fix it. Let's just get through this. That to me was a signal, because everything you just said is right. Mr. Fiscal Conservative, well, then act like it. And I think it was a matter of just, you know, in essence, feeling he had the blood on his hands from the deal. And during this most recent break that they took, the Easter break, is apparently when he really just said, you know, I'm done. I can't do any good. It's not worth it. And out I go. And I think the fact, as I said, that the omnibus bill went through was a signal that he just didn't have the fight left. And in that case, well, then it's good to pull out. And I also actually have great respect for the fact that he said, okay, I'll finish out the term, because that's a hard thing too at this point, to be the lame duck. Now that may actually mean he's unleashed, and who knows what'll happen, because what's he have to worry about? Re-election? No. What's he have to worry about? Losing the leadership of his caucus? No. So who knows what may come now? The Dark Knight version of Paul Ryan may come through for all we know.
Well, that brings up a good point. Will the Freedom Caucus, the far right stooges, will they basically insist, okay, wait a minute here, we're not going to have you sitting up there preventing our agenda, you need to step aside, and they're going to have a vote to try to get someone else as speaker in the House?
No, because I think that's going to be too much of a bloodletting for them. I think that you know, McCarthy and Scalise are already counting noses. And, you know, can the Freedom Caucus influence that outcome? I don't know that they have anybody, and I don't think a caretaker makes any sense. I mean, you're already at the middle of April. They barely meet as it is during an election year. So I don't think you're going to see that. But you're going to have a speaker, arguably, who can not worry about offending. You know, I mean, if he believes, for example, that the Freedom Caucus is correct, then he'll embrace it publicly. If he thinks that they're all wet, then he'll just tell them to go buzz off, because he doesn't need them anymore, right? And so this is why it could be really interesting, because he's not going to just phone it in for the next 8 months. But I do think that he doesn't have to be as diplomatic, shall we say, in some of the things going forward. It was staggering, though, and I did a piece on the Iowa Politics Report about this. He brought in more money for his own reelection, but then he gave $40 million to the National Committee. I mean, he was bringing in money hand over fist, and that was the one thing people were concerned about, that he said he didn't want to be on the rubber chicken circuit, didn't like raising money. Well, he was a pretty good draw raising money. So I think what he did was say, okay, I've left it no worse than I found it, and off I go. Mm-hmm. I'm done. This is all personal. And but again, there are some who are trying to link it to Trump. I don't think it's Trump. I think his problem was with everything, primarily McConnell.
Worst job he could possibly have. Which brings up, and by the way, I agree with you on the money thing, although money right now doesn't seem to be doing anything to help the Republicans in a lot of these races. That's true. they're having advantages and they're losing. Here's the other thing about, I want to get back to the Freedom Caucus for a second, because what the Freedom Caucus, if the rest of these Republicans are realizing the gig's up, come November, we're about to lose this thing, even with the gerrymandered and the limiting voting and all this stuff, we're going to lose this thing. And if we lose this thing this bad, then it's going to be really hard for us in 2020 as well. It's one thing to be a minority group within the majority party. It's another thing to be a minority group within the minority party. And the Freedom Caucus, I feel, might be looking at, if we lose the House, then we are basically, no one's really going to care about us, because it's going to be, you know, they're going to have to work with the majority. This is why I ask whether or not the Freedom Caucus might actually make a power play right now to try to get someone in there, because they realize the clock is ticking.
Well, I think what'll happen, and you and I are not far off on this, I think what'll happen is, if the Freedom Caucus finds themselves in the minority, they are going to be emboldened to say, our brand of Republicanism would have won if only you had given it a chance, and they're going to try to steamroll leadership of the minority and set their sights toward 2020, when Trump will be on the ticket, other things notwithstanding. So I don't know that they'll do anything now. I think they're going to be, because if anything, they've been very good about being the I told you so party.
Yeah.
And I sort of get a sense that they're going to kind of be the I told you so people. So I'd sooner think that what they would do is sit back, see who's left after the 2018 election, and then make their play as the minority, should that be the case. Because I just don't see them having enough votes or enough power to do anything other than what they've been doing, which is in essence being the internal party of no.
Max Kepler saves us, by the way, Brett. 9-8, Twins win. Thank God. They keep up a 7-run lead. All right. We'll take a break. When we come
Thank
on back.
Thank goodness you got to the important stuff.
Max Kepler.
You know,
Kepler saved us today. Anyway, we'll tell you what. When we will come back, let's talk about Cohen when we do come back. Because, yeah, Trump is not having a good week. This has gone really badly for him. Jeff Stein joining us once again. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Being a dog is awesome. Except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens is the first green cemetery in Minnesota. It's a beautiful, peaceful place where burials are celebrations of life with as little impact on the environment as possible. Tony Weber founded it because he wants to leave a green legacy for his grandchildren, something many of us might feel. Learn more. Visit the website mngreengraves.com. Give them a call. The goal is so meaningful, so positive, it might be right for you. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all five of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle, with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
This is Bill McLeslie, owner of IP House. When you got your computer, you heard that it all works together seamlessly. You just need to connect the printer to the Bluetooth on the router? Does your business struggle with technology? Our mission is to make technology simple. We provide tech support for businesses just like yours. We help you take control of your technology with support in plain English. If your technology has the better of you, call us, 612-337-6337.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Once again, we'll put the Iowa politics report up a little bit later on for you to peruse yourself. Jeff, let's see if I understand this correctly. So Mueller, in the case of the Russian investigation, came across Michael Cohen, Trump's personal lawyer, basically breaking the law. And it sounds like what they're looking at is campaign finance issues as well as bank fraud, because he got that $130,000 they used to pay off Stormy Daniels. And it sounds like he got that under false pretenses. Needless to say, his responsibility is to not allow a major law breaking, a crime, to go unchecked. So he did what he was supposed to do. Contacted the local New York U.S. attorney. U.S. attorney signed off on this. Rod Rosenstein signed off on this. The FBI raided Michael Cohen's home, found documents in regards to this. It now goes to a taint group, which basically will make sure that any attorney-client privilege that can be preserved is preserved. But needless to say, Cohen is in big freaking trouble with this, because his own admissions, as he's sputtered through these interviews about Stormy Daniels, basically he's doomed. I mean, I don't even see how he's going to keep his law license at this point.
Well, if it is a violation of campaign finance laws, the law license is not necessarily an issue, but that's so small compared to everything else. Number one, he got into it himself by talking about it.
Yes.
There's no question that's where the problem came in. Number two, they don't go raiding lawyers' offices and homes unless two things. One, usually you use a subpoena. You don't use a subpoena and jump right to a warrant when, as the law enforcement, you have reason to believe that either they're not going to comply with the subpoena for whatever reason, or you believe that the subpoena, the mere process of the subpoena being served, is going to lead to material being destroyed. You have to convince the judge of that. So they first had to get a judge to understand why they believed that the lesser restrictive alternative, a subpoena, would not work. And again, it had to be because there was the fear that they're not going to play ball. The other reason you go right to warrant land is if the person who's being searched, whose facilities are being searched, if they're the target of a criminal investigation. This has, to me, not a lot to do with Trump directly. It has everything to do with Cohen being the target of a criminal investigation, not related to the Mueller investigation or Russian collusion. You're exactly right. Mueller's mandate is narrow, but when he finds things that are illegal, he cannot ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
If they are tangentially related, like with Manafort, then he can proceed and pursue it. If, however, it is not tangentially related, like payouts to an adult film performer, then you refer it to the FBI office. And I don't like the phrase porn star, and so I have been using adult film performer.
It's a magical Roman time. It's a magical time in this country, isn't it?
Jeff's classing up the show here.
Somebody needs to. No, yeah, Christine Roman
really.
Is an Iowa native, Iowa State grad, and I noticed that she had tweeted, "I need a different phrase than porn star. My grandmother watches my show." And I thought, well, that's a very good point. So adult film performer is the phrase I'm using. And so that's it. To me, it's Cohen, who's now in the sights.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he himself made the payment. But again, and I know you're not going to either like it or agree with me, I just don't think they're connecting yet to Trump. It's
but
all of these other folks. Now, it could happen. Okay, but what I'm saying is it's just a matter that Trump is slippery enough. So, I mean, I'm not excusing anything that's been done. I'm just saying I don't think we're there yet.
But let's look at it in the Manafort scenario. It's Manafort's – they're trying to roll Manafort not because of the Russian investigation, but his really sketchy background with the Ukrainians – and, you know, violating, the lobbying laws of Washington, D.C. And now they've got his associate rolled, and he's going to be testifying against him. It comes down to whether or not, you know, what he's done, what Cohen has foolishly done is, you know, and I think we can cut the facade to a point. It's the bank fraud. He got the loan for $130,000 to pay off Stormy Daniels. He surely did not write to pay off an adult film actress. He did not write that down. So the cause for the loan is fraudulent. Hence, it's bank fraud. And if what the dumb thing is that if he's done that, the reality is that that's got some teeth. He could go to jail. And now it's time. What do you have to offer?
Okay, first of all, it's adult film performer. You're going to get your terminology right. But second, this is a tricky thing because how many, and I'm not making light of it, but just understand, how many college students have said, I'm going to take a student loan, and they get the money, and instead of paying for tuition, they buy a new stereo back in the day. I don't know what they buy these days. I mean, if you say you're getting the money for a certain thing and there's no collateral, it's a little fuzzy. So depending on what he actually put that the loan was for, and if they can trace that particular set of dollars as opposed to displacing others, but as Cohen himself said, key point, he said in an interview, why he's still doing interviews, I don't know, because it's been such a raging success so far, but what he said was, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried. Well, that's about the first honest thing the man has said publicly. And that's your key takeaway point.
Well, and yeah, and I really do honestly think that regardless, I mean, it's the realm which you're working in. This is not trying to get past a student loan office at a college. This is Robert Mueller's investigation, and every I had better be dotted, every T had better be crossed, or they are going to charge file the charges, and they have teeth at that federal level. We'll have to end there, though. Once again, I'll post everything online a little bit later on. Jeff, once again, Jeff Stein, find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, Matthew.
Take care. Mike McAtee coming up next. I imagine he'll have some more here on Paul Ryan as well as also the latest with Trump. Have a rest of the day. Have a good one out there. We'll be back on a Thursday. Till then, see ya.